This is the beginning of the poem. He's explaining about himself, Hafidhahu Allah Ta'ala, and his love, how he grew up in the love of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and is engrossed in it. And this is like a prologue, he says, where he says that he is entitled to have this longing in him because of his nasab and because of his background. And after that, he starts describing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. طاب لي في الروض نشر ياسمين واستراق السمع بين العاشقين. It is good for me to be in the garden where the smell of jasmine is profusing, and to engross myself in listening to those who are عاشقون, people of longing. وحلالي في البث الهوى وقطراح الحب عند العادلين. And how sweet it is for me to propound my love and my crime of loving in the eyes of those who censure. لست أخشى أنهما دمعي فما كنت يوما مؤثرا للكاتمين. I'm not hiding that these are my tears, and I would not be amongst those who prefer to hide them. والمواجيد إذا تغزو حشا صادق في الحب يشفيها الأنين. Because these sighs of longing, there can be shifa in them for the mujid, for the one who has the true love. أنا في الحب إمام لم يزل مقعدي بين صفوف السابقين. I am the leader of the lovers, and I continue to be seated in the rows of those who came before me, meaning that the love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam is a long-standing tradition, and he is in the rows of those, and he's the leader in the rows of those who have expressed their love. نلت في شرع الهوى منزلة فقدت فيها دهرة كل خدين. I have reached in the law of loving a station that surpasses many others. كيف لا وحب طه المصطفى سيد الخلق إمام المرسلين هو جدي وأب لي نسبا وأنا من نسله بعض البنين. And how would I not have this love when the chosen one, the master of creation, the imam of the messengers, the leader of the messengers, he is my grandfather and a father of to me in lineage, and I am one of his offspring. فِيَ مِنْهُ ذَرَّةٌ قَدْ قُسِّمَتْ بَيْنَ آلِ الْبَيْتِ تَدْعُو لِلْحَنِينَ. In me there is a dharra, there's an atom or a DNA that was split amongst the people of the house, the Ahlul Bayt, and that calls to this longing. The reason for this longing is that I have the DNA of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam in me. عشت صبا طول عمري واليها عاشقا خير الورى والعشق دين. I have lived as a lover all my life, and I have lived in this engrossing love and this longing for the best of mankind, and this عشق, this longing is religion. لا تلومني إن أتيه في حبه حق للهائم فيه أن يبين. Don't criticize me if my senses are lost in this love. It is the right of the one who is censuring that he should see the truth.
والتمس عذرا بما أشرحه فأنا في ذلك الحسن سجين.
Take my apology because of what I'm now going to explain to you, because I am a prisoner of this beauty. And then he begins to describe the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we stopped on the first page on where the description began.
الحبيب المجتبى من مضر النبي الطاهر الهادي الأمين.
The beloved one, the chosen one from مضر. النبي الطاهر, the pure prophet. الهادي, the guide. الأمين, the trusted.
أحمد المختار من أرسله الله فينا رحمة للعالمين. أحمد the elect one whom Allah sent to us as a rahmah, as a mercy to all the worlds, to all the universe. منقذا من حر نار أحرقت بلهيب من لضاها الكافرين. And he sent us as a savior from the fire that has been kindled, the flames of which will eat those who deny. مشفق خرصا على أمته أن يراها في حضم الهالكين. He was مشفق, he was always compassionate, or he was always he was empathetic towards his ummah, fearing for them that they should be destroyed. يسأل الله لنا مغفرة وهو في الحشر شفيع المذنبين. Always asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness for us, and he will be on the day of Hashr, the great gathering, he will be the one who does intercession for the sinners. So he was sent to us as a savior from the fire, and he was always concerned about his ummah saving us from the fire, and he will do shafa'a, he will do intercession for us on the day of, he was always doing, asking forgiveness for us, and he will do shafa'a for us on the day of judgment. وَلَهُ حَوْضٌ زُلَالٌ كَوْسَرٌ سَلْسَبِيلٌ مَاءُهُ عَذْبٌ مَعِينٌ. And he has a hawd, he has a basin of sweet water from the, that comes from a kawthar, from the river in paradise. Its water is salsabil, and it is very sweet. And he will give us to drink from that on the day of judgment. We hope, inshallah ta'ala, may Allah grant us that. Wa sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Wa huwa idhaqa alayhi qa'imun min nada kafayhi yarwi dha'imin. So he will be standing there, and from his hand he will be giving drinks to those who are thirsty. وَلِوَاءُ الْحَمْدِ يَوْمَ دِينِ فِي يَدِهِ وَهُوَ إِمَامُ الْحَامِدِينَ. And the banner of praise will be in his hand on that day, and he will be the leader of those who are praising. And in this context, the praise is always connected with the his station, with al-maqam al-mahmud, his station as the intercessor. So he will be the bearer of the banner of praise, meaning that he will be given the unique intercession, and all he will be standing in front of the prophets, because no one else will be allowed intercession on that day, and no one will want to attempt it either. Everybody will be pointing at him and saying, he is the one, go to him. And he will say, yes, I will intercede for me, because it is a promise from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so this is the meaning of liwa'ul hamd. هَذَا كُلَّ السَّعْدِ مَنْ صَدَّقَهُ وَقَدْ تَفَاءَ أَثَارَهُ فِي الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Those who believe in him and follow his paths from the believers will attain every happiness. طَاعَةُ الرَّحْمَنِ مِنْ طَاعَتِهِ وَهُدَاهُ مُنْجِدٌ لِلْحَائِرِينَ. To obey him is to obey Ar-Rahman, is to be obey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his guidance will be guiding those who are lost. حُبُّهُ فَرْضٌ عَلَى كُلِّ الْوَرَى وَهُوَ فِي أَخْشَاءِ الْقَلْبِ دَفِينَ. So he passing now to a different subject. First he's saying the benefits we have from him, the reasons to love him. The first benefit we have to him is that he is the savior. He's our savior on the day of judgment. He's our guide. And now he comes to the fact that he is our guide to the ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how we obey him, and what is obligatory on us from a point of view of the sharia. Ubuhu fardun ala kulli al-wara. To love him is an obligation, a shari'i obligation for all created beings, for all mankind. وَهُوَ فِي أَخْشَاءِ بالقلب دفين. And that love is imprinted in our intestines or in our inner, intrinsic to us in our heart. It means that it is part of the, this kind of part of the fitra to love him. And it is also the sharia that we are have been made obligatory on us. صاغه الرحمن من نور بدا جوهرا قد ذاب في ماء وطين. Now he's going to describe his beauty and his appeal. So we said why we love him, the fundamental reason is because he is our savior on the day of judgment. The second reason is because it's obligatory. The third reason now is because of his appeal and his beauty. Allah shaped him from a light which is like a jewel melting in water and clay. So it's like a jewel that was shaped into the physical body of a man. مُسْفِرٌ عَنْ شَمْسِ عِلْمٍ أَشْرَقَتْ فَأَزَالَتْ ظُلُمَاتُ الْجَاهِلِينَ. He was enlightening us with the sun of knowledge, that when with the sun of knowledge which put an end to the darkness of the ignorance. صانه الله عن الإثم فلم يبد منه أي فعل قد يشين. Allah protected him from any sin, and no action, no shameful action ever emanated from him. وحمى منطقه من زلل وهوى أو خير فيه يمين أو خبر فيه يمين. And Allah protected his speech from any mistake and from being affected by his own passion or from swearing oaths. أفصح الناس أفصح الناس بيانا أودعت في مبانيه علوم الأولين. The most eloquent of people in explaining, in his, when he was explaining things, the knowledge of the ones that preceded him would shine through, meaning that he's brought the same message as previous prophets in terms of the Tawheed, but he brought it in the most eloquent manner, and that was one of his miracles, which is specific to him also, and the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent him in a time when and in a place where people put a lot of value on eloquence. So he was the most eloquent of the people of his time and ever, because they were the most eloquent ever in history. So, and he was the most eloquent of them. So he became the most eloquent altogether in the world. ضرر من فمه قد خرجت سلبت الباب كل سامعين. Pearls came from his mouth, and pearls came out of his mouth, and they would capture they would trap or they would capture the intelligence of anyone who heard him. They would capture everyone's attention, and everyone's intellect would submit to them. موجزٌ قوله مختصر موجزٌ في قوله مختصر لم يكن يسرد مثل الساردين. And when he spoke, he was موجز. موجز means it's a term in balagha and eloquence, like expressing oneself very briefly. They say balagha fil ijazi balagha, in saying things in a very short manner is eloquence. So he was mujiz in
in his speech. He was brief and concise in his speech, مختصر, saying things in a short manner. لم يكن يسرد مثل سعد الدين. He would not elaborate in long and boring discourses. جمل معدونة جمل 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 معدونة قد جمعت كل لفظ معجز مع المعنى مبين. I'm not able to translate this line. في عقود من لآل نظمت شغلت من بعد كل دارسين. It was like a string of pearls that was thread. And this is usually a metaphor for poetry, but the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't compose poetry. It's sometimes used also for prose. It's specific for poetry because the pearls are like every bait here, every line of poetry is like a pearl and they are thread one after the other. So it's specifically used for poetry, but it's also used for speech in general. في عقود من لآل, in a string of pearls, نظمة, that was thread, شغلت من بعد كل دارسين, and that would keep all the students busy after him, meaning all the students and all the teachers busy explaining what he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said it in a perfect manner, and then the scholars have spent a lot of effort and written big books about it. And he said it maybe sometimes with two words only. صادق القول إمام الصدق في كل حال قدوة للصادقين. Always truthful in his speech. He was the Imam of truthfulness. In every state, he was an example for the truthful ones. And I think we mentioned this the other day, because it was a point that Sayyidina Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala made when he was explaining one of his speeches about the hadith of Ma'bad. It was declared as sahih by, I think it was by Bayhaqi, who said that even though it's narrator, the state of the narrators is unknown, but because they are Bedouins, everyone knows that the Bedouins don't lie. So he was, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he came from an ambience where lies were just not accepted, or where it was just not done. And in that ambience, he was the leader. He was the foremost of everyone. So if these people were the people of all who were always truthful, even when it went against their interests, they wouldn't be able to lie. Then, and he was the Imam of those. It means that he is the greatest example of truthfulness that ever existed. مخلص لا يبتغي إلا رضا ربه هو رئيس المخلصين. He was, so first we said he was صادق, he was truthful, and he was sincere, مخلص, إخلاص. He was sincere. Everything he ever wanted was to please his Lord, and he was the Ra'is, the president of the sincere ones. لن يجد عن دعوة الناس إلى ربه رغم الصدود. رغم الصدود. لم يجد عن دعوة الناس إلى ربه رغم الصدود الأقربين. Nothing would prevent him from calling people to his Lord. ناضيا كالسيف في عزمته
ثابتا في الحق دوما لا يلين. He was
sharp like a sword in making his statements, and he was always stood to his statements because his statements were true, and he was always and he would never give in for the truth. في الحق دوما لا يبين. He would never give in when it came to the truth. وعلى الله غدا مؤتمدا. وعلى الله غدا مؤتمدا. So now we pass to speak. We does the flow of the thought here. We spoke about him and his historical role in saving humanity. About his the obligation of loving him, then about his virtues, his obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, his eloquence, his truthfulness, his sincerity. And then he goes on now speaking about his virtue. It will go on for quite a while. He's mentioning about his reliance upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَعَلَى اللَّهِ غَدًا مُعْتَمِدًا وَاثِقًا بِالنَّصْرِ وَالْفَتْحِ الْمُبِينِ. He would always rely upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would trust that Allah will give him the victory. أَشْجَعُ الْفُرْسَانِ فِي ساحل وغا تختشي من بأسه أست العرين. He was the most brave warrior, and even a lion would be afraid of him.
وحليم يغفر الذنب ولم يبدو للأعداء منه غير لين.
At the same time, he was most forbearing. He would forgive every misdeed, and he would not show except softness towards his enemy that is after, not in battle, of course, but after having won over them, he would never show arrogance. This is a very important It's a very important characteristic of his. That is one of the things that Sayyidina Shaykh Muhammad al-Yaqubi hafidhahullah ta'ala often points out, that people who have arrogance, when they win a case or when they get the upper hand, they tend to take revenge against their enemies. And this is a big mistake, he says hafidhahullah ta'ala, because you've already won. There's no need to show to make this display of having the upper hand, and it is undiplomatic, because you could win so much more by being soft. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was always soft in his victories. He was never the arrogant person who finished off with his enemies, killing everybody and showing his power over them. On the contrary, he tried to win them over. And I think the most visual example is when he entered Makkah, sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam, and he was dressed in black. Black is the color of authority, but his head was bowed, and he was asking forgiveness, and he was reciting the surah, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله أفواجا فسبح بحمد ربك واستغفره إنه كان ثوابا. When you see the people coming into Islam, because, and that was the surah, I think it was revealed in this context, when the victory of Allah comes and you will see the people entering into Islam, then ask forgiveness, for Allah is the always forgiving. So this was his shima, this was one of his great characteristics. And this is, nobody's able to do that unless he is truly humble. Like a person who's arrogant cannot keep himself from enjoying this victory and exploiting this moment of having the upper hand. And the Sunnah Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never did that. وَحَلِيمٌ يَغْفِرُ ذَنْبًا وَلَمْ يَبْدُ لِلْأَغْدَاءِ مِنْهُ غَيْرُ لِينٍ. He was oft forgiving, always forgiving misdeeds, and you would not see anything but softness from him towards his his enemies. أَعْبَدُ الْخَلْقِ لِمَوْلَاهُ إِذَا قَامَ اللَّيْلَ يَبْرَزُ الْعَابِدِينَ. He was the most worship, he was the greatest worshipper of his Lord when he was standing all night in prayer. وَهُوَ أَخْشَى النَّاسِ لِلَّهِ بِلَا أَيِّ رَيْبٍ وَإِمَامُ الْمُتَّقِينَ. He was the most, he was the one who most feared Allah from amongst all people. And this is in the hadith, it said, I am the one who most fears Allah amongst all of you. So there's no doubt about that. He was the leader of the people of taqwa. شَاكِرٌ لِلَّهِ فِي أَحْوَالِهِ كُلِّهَا بَلْ سَيِّدٌ لِلشَّاكِرِينَ. He was grateful to Allah in all his states. Indeed, he was the Sayyid, the master of the grateful ones. صَابِرٌ فِيمَا جَرَى مُحْتَسِبٌ مُحْتَسِبٌ أَجْرَهُ وَهُوَ مِثَالُ الصَّابِرِينَ. He was patient in whatever happened, thinking about the reward that is reaped by patience, and he was an example of patience. وَيَبِيتُ اللَّيْلَ مِنْ إِيثَارِهِ طَاوِيًا فِيهِ يُوَاسِي الْمُدْقِعِينَ. He would spend the whole night out of his own choice not eating. Tawiyan means usually to fast, but you don't fast in the night, you fast in the daytime. But sometimes he didn't have anything in the house to fast because he had given it to others. Yuwasil mudqiyin. He had given it to make things easy for others. أَجْوَدُ النَّاسِ إِذَا مَا جَاءَهُ بِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ جِبْرِيلُ الْأَمِينُ. And especially when Jibril alayhi salam came along, that was a time when he was most generous, this is stated in the hadith also. لَمْ يَخَفْ فَقْرًا وَلَمْ يُمْسِكْ يَدًا وَنَدَاهُ وَنَدَاهُ عَمَّ كُلَّ الْمُعَتَّفِينَ. He didn't fear poverty. Of course, this is a statement of somebody who is who relies upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not fear poverty. But this was a statement that even the unbelievers made about him, and when they spoke about him in Mecca, they would say he spends as if he didn't fear poverty. For them, that was something unbelievable because they almost worshipped their money. So he was all the contrary of that. He didn't fear poverty. And he would never tighten his hand. He would always be giving. وَنَدَاهُ عَمَّ كُلَّ الْمُعَتَّفِينَ. And his nada, his generosity, encompassed everyone. وَإِذَا مَا قَدْ أَتَاهُ سَائِلٌ يَطْلُبُ الرَّفْدَ تَرَاهُ يَسْتَدِينَ. And to the point where once when somebody came to ask him for something that he could not give, then he pawned one of his objects, like he would take a loan in order to give to someone who was asking. أثر الناس بما في بيته من طعام مضى وهو مدين. He would give preference to other people in his house. When it came to food, he would rather give it to the others than taking it himself. حسنت أخلاقه واكتملت فغدا فغدا أنموذجا للمقتدين. his character was so beautiful and so perfect that he was the greatest example to be followed. وَكَرِيمٌ مِنْ كَرِيمِ نَسَدًا. So this was about his virtues. Now his character. Now the next section is about his nasad, his where he gives in the provenance.
كَرِيمٌ مِنْ كَرِيمِ نَسَدًا مِنْ لَدُنْ آدَمَ نَسْلُ الْأَكْرَمِينَ.
He was the most noble of all nobles in lineage. From the time of Adam, his lineage was all people of nobility.
طَهَّرَ اللَّهُ لَهُ أَبَاءَهُ لَمْ يَكُونُوا أَبَدًا بِالْمُشْرِكِينَ.
Allah purified his forefathers. There was no mushrik, there was no mushrik amongst his forefathers. All his people back in time were people of Tawheed, as we discussed last Saturday about his family. His family is accounted to be believers, and they were not mushrikun. And his mothers are women who never did zina, his fathers for that matter.
Abadullah ta'ala ila تعالى وحده وله كانوا جميعا ساجدين.
They all worshipped only Allah and they would do sajda to him.
يا حبيب الله يا صفوته من جميع الخلق يا قطب اليقين.
O you beloved of Allah, O you the most elect, you the purest that he elected from all the creation, O you pole of yaqeen, of belief.
يا جميل الخلق والخلق ومن حسنه يسبي عقول الناظرين.
O you who are the most beautiful in exterior shape and in character, and whose beauty is whose beauty captures the intelligence or captures, takes our intelligence of those who see you.
ذو جمال وجلال باهر وصفه للناس أعيا الواصفين.
You have your beauty and your jamal and your jalal, your beauty and your majesty are so great that it's not even possible to describe it. This is one of the things that Shaykh Hafidhahullah Ta'ala once pointed out when he was teaching the Shama'il, which he has done on so many different occasions. He says that the beauty of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was indescribable, but it was also, in a sense, it could not be described. So whenever they described him, they described whatever was the most beautiful they could conceive of. And sometimes you cannot take the description of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is something that we put in front of our eyes to imagine his beauty, but we should not take it as a documentary description of him, because people were not able to see him in that manner, like in a photograph, in a black and white photograph. You know, what they saw was the personification of beauty. And then he comes with some phrases from Hadith al-Hilya in the Shama'il.
أزهر اللون أسيل محمد أزهر اللون أسيل خده أكحل العينين والضاء الجبين والضاء الجبين.
أزهر اللون, his skin, his complexion was rosy.
Asilul khadduhu, and his cheeks were soft.
The skin and his shape of his cheeks were soft. and harmonious. Akhalul Ainain, his eyes were, there was a great, his eyes were black. Wadda'ul Jabin, and his brows were enlightened. Laysa fil kawni jamilun misluhu. La walam ya'ti lahu qattu qarin. In the whole of universe, there's no one as beautiful as him. And never is there even anyone who is comparable to him. شَرَحَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى صَدْرَهُ شَرَحَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى صَدْرَهُ says Sayyidina Muhammad. There's one narration from Sayyidatuna Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her. She says that his beauty was hidden. If his beauty were visible as it is, then he says that the beauty of Sayyidina Yusuf alayhi salam was only half of the beauty that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had. But it was hidden, because if it was open, if it was visible for everyone, then people would not even only cut their hands, they would cut their hearts. So those who are witnessing his beauty, their hearts are cut, they're cutting their hearts. That's why you see people going crazy with love for him. They see a glimpse of his true beauty. شرح الله تعالى صدره بعلوم هي كالدر اليتيم كالدر الثمين. Allah expanded his breast by knowledge that was like precious pearls or precious jewels. ثم أعلى في البرايا ثم أعلى في البرايا ذكره بأذان صدح في كل حين. And then he raised him amongst mankind in mentioning by an adhan, by the call to prayer, which is resounding at every moment. ولقد صلى عليه جهرة بكلام صار ذكر الذاكرين. And he himself, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, made a dhikr, meaning the salawat, the ayah of salawat in the Quran al-Kareem. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. This speech has become the dhikr of the dhakirun. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered his angels and the mankind to do salawat upon him, and this has become our dhikr. وَلَقَدْ صَلَى عَلَيْهِ جَهْرَةً بِكَلَامٍ صَارَ ذِكْرَ ذَاكِرِينَ يَا صَلَاةَ اللَّهِ زُورِ رَوْضَهُ حَيْثُ سِرُّ اللَّهِ فِي الْأَرْضِ قَطِينَ. O prayer of Allah, visit the rawda, meaning the prayer that Allah is sending him. May that prayer be in the rawda, in his rawda, since the secret of Allah is hidden in that earth, in the earth where he is buried, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَاسْقِ ذَاكَ الرَّوْضِ بِالْغَيْثِ بِالنَّدِّ وَالطِّيبِ وَقِطْرِ الْيَاسَمِينِ. And entrench that piece of earth with dew and with ned, which is also like dew, and with the perfume and qitr of yasmin. وَسَلَامُ اللَّهِ يَهْمِي سَاقِيًا تُرْبَ قَبْرٍ هِيَ بِالْمِسْكِ عَجِينَ. And may there be peace or greetings from Allah sent to water the dust of that grave that is mixed with yasmin, the earth that is mixed with perfume.
وصلى الله عليه وآله وسلم.